Hello, I'm Adam.
And I'm Alicia.
And we do the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, where I talk about Doctor Who in a very intelligent and fact-finding way. And Alicia, what do you do, Alicia?
Talk about loads of random stuff, basically.
What, anything to do with Doctor Who?
Sometimes, but
basically,
it's...
you hinder my attempts to talk about Doctor Who.
Yeah. Yes. That's why I'm here.
That's basically the podcast.
To get on your nerves. And it's quite funny when I get on your nerves.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, it is.
No, it isn't.
Well, everybody else finds it funny except
no,
me.
No, all right. You said 20 Megabyte Doctor Who... I can't even say. What is it, Alicia?
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Thank you. Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 423. I'm Adam and Doctor, and here is Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Doctor.
Robert Haynes.
Doctor.
And Mary Lang.
It's the end, but the moment has been prepared for.
Yes, that tedious introduction was the brainchild of Mr. Kirby Bartlett Sloan. And yes, indeed, we're here to review Logopolos, which is one of my favourite stories, and because it is this actual, well, episode four is the actual episode, as I keep harking on about, that turned me into a Doctor Who fan.
Oh, so, really?
Oh, chat up, you know I've said that over and over again. So, without further ado, let's begin. Oh, yeah, but Debbie Merrose can't be bothered to turn up because she's in Malta. I mean, you don't have to leave the country to get out of being in the show, as, well, yeah. Actually, Mary and Kirby never left the country. They've just never been here.
I get to not be on the show next week by seeing a silent movie.
Yes. I don't think with you in
silent.
The... with you in the building, it's very unlikely to be completely silent, Kirby, let's face it.
No. It is not completely silent. It has live organ accompaniment.
You're taking your organ with you, are you?
Well, and with the organ.
In Debbie's absence, we have as our special guest, Robert Haynes.
Yeah, I think Robert was coming along anyway, but yes.
Well, perhaps he's now a regular again, I hope.
Well, I hope he's as regular as we all are. Every morning and every evening for me, but surely at the moment we should move on to Doctor Who.
A little metamucil always helps.
Know that.
Right then. So, the episode begins with a police box am I on the right episode here? No, I'm not. Sorry, someone's taking me to the wrong episode.
There's a police box in the first episode.
Oh, there is. Yeah. Oh, it is. Yeah, I was on the right episode. I just got slightly confused. Yeah, so the episode begins with a police box and a stereotypical BBC policeman leaning against it, trying to make a phone call. Yes.
I had never noticed before, never made the connection, that there's a litter bin there plus a sign saying to take your litter home. So what do you do?
Yes, yeah. It's supposed to be
some
sort of joke.
Take your litter home or put it in the bin.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, never mind. Anyway, so the clever little special effect occurs while the policeman's on the phone. That sort of is a bit of wibbly wobbliness that goes on with the TARDIS. Then he gets dragged in. What?
It's also timey wimey.
Yeah. He gets dragged in, and rather hilariously, according to the person laughing about it.
I've got something to ask you.
Who? Me?
Yeah. Why did the bicycle fall over?
Is that some sort of? Is there a punchline to this joke? Because because the
because it was too tired.
Right, so point deducted for Robert for
him on the show again.
Trying to pick up on Kirby's poor standard
of. It did fall over though at some time when the TARDIS landed.
So the policeman gets rather fun, according to the master, whose laugh we can hear, hilariously killed and shrunk. He sort of goes. Every time he laughs, there's a bit
all
of
all the time.
Not
for
all the time. Four
episodes.
There was one point in which he forgot to do the laugh. I can't remember which part that was. Anyway,
he received a credit for just laughing.
Yeah. So, yeah, then the next shot is of the Doctor and Adric wandering around the cloister room. I suppose it's a cloister room, because that's where the cloister bell, which we don't see, is. I like that room. It's quite
aesthetic. I really like it. And when I was watching with, when I was watching with Fred the other night, she was going, are they inside the TARDIS?
Well, yeah. The Randalls would have implied that they are. The Doctor's sort of mooching around and sulking a little bit. He's not really on his happiest frame of mind. But if you're stuck in a room with Matthew Waterhouse, maybe... I was stuck on a table with Matthew Waterhouse a few years ago, funny enough. A nice enough chap, but I wouldn't say that he wouldn't get me out of being in a bad mood. Right then. So, yeah, he's just doing lots of contemplating and stuff. And next shot is... one of my favourite companions, funny enough, Tegan Jabanka, who's
one of my favourites too.
Leaving her abode somewhere in London. With
no, she's leaving the house where they wrote Megloss. Remember?
Okay, yes, fair enough.
Seriously?
Yeah, I know. You said before when we watched Megloss, for goodness sake. Oh, good grief. So anyway, Auntie Vanessa's having trouble getting the car started. But she does get the... Well, Tegan gets a car started and then drives off while the Doctor and Adric continue to mooch around the cloister room.
Fred also asked, are British cars really that small?
Well, no, only some.
Well, that was quite an old car. I suppose it is quite small. I'm sure you can get fairly small cars in America, like the Smart Car, which is a two-seater car.
Well, but I think back then the cars were smaller because weren't they going through an energy crisis and, you know, needed to have the most efficient little cars they could?
Quite possibly. Anyway, so...
I don't think that was the reason, though.
The Doctor and Adric, they're just normal-sized cars. American cars in those days were ridiculously big.
I know.
That's the short sort of answer to that one. So the Doctor and Adric they're sulking a little bit because Romana's gone and... they sort of had a little peek inside Romana's room. I was very surprised Romana didn't take some of her wardrobe with her, to be fair, when she dropped off, but she didn't. And they get a flat. I mean a flat tire, not a flat as in a flat you live in. This is Tegan and Auntie Vanessa. And rather conveniently, buy a police box. And Tegan, being their sort of, you know, modern day woman that she is, sets about getting the manual out and working out how to change the tire.
Master.
Somewhat hopelessly.
Apparently at that time, at the time of filming, there really was one final non-working police box in the London area close to where they were.
Was there?
They did not get permission or something.
But that actually did look like the TARDIS prop.
Yeah.
So I think I might. And of course,
the Doctor refers to many more of them in the north of London. So
yes,
meaning Glasgow, I suppose.
So just reading some of the comments that come through. Lillian Robin said, "Ooh, Robert, bad pun." And then Ian Kirk said that joke was a wheelie bad. And then he says, sorry, I spoke.
Oh!
Wow.
Well, it made Robert laugh, so they can see the standard of punness that we have. Anyway, so the Doctor is trying to... He's finally got round to trying to sort out the comedian circuit issue, just because he's a bit bored and miserable. All the TARDIS can do is rather dodgy drawings of a two-dimensional... TARDIS, and then it turns into a pyramid.
Unless you're watching the new version.
The new version? No, I don't want to watch the new version. Well, I take it in the new version. It's
new.
More... Yeah, yeah. Well, is this another one of your puns?
If you recall, several months ago, Fred and I went to see this in the theater, and we also saw the version, which is the Blu-ray version, there. And yeah, there's no longer crude pyramids and stuff.
Yeah.
But I watched three quarters of this as the original broadcast version.
Three quarters. I bet you the last episode, that's when you switched, wasn't it?
Correct.
Yeah, to see the Federal Bank.
I forgot to mention that Debbie Melrose says, no one can prove we are not one and the same. That's just something she posted on our private link, which I hope doesn't go ping too many times during the show. Anyway, right. So the Doctor is trying to work out basically how to turn the outer shell of the TARDIS into something it is in a police box. And he does a little parking of the... I do quite like that scene of the TARDIS next to the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Do a little short hop.
I love it.
And that's when the bike falls over.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
that's... So I guess by that point they had... built the second TARDIS prop.
They had
the budget for that.
Yes.
Oh, it's raining.
While all this is happening, there's a bloke wearing white in a field watching over a fence. And
Watching?
Yes. While that's happening, Tegan is trying to change the wheel on the car, and Adric and the Doctor are trying to do some mathematics to measure the... sort of dimensions of a police box. Now, the trouble is, this falls apart, the dimensions of the police box thing, because most of the police boxes that were around in the late 50s and early 60s were all different shapes and sizes.
Mm.
So, unless this was the specific model that the Gallifreyans used, you know, that particular police box, to create the model for the outside of the TARDIS. Anyway.
I do like Adric. On top of the TARDIS.
I was just about to mention that. Yes, Adric climbs. He gets on top of the TARDIS. I would have been a bit worried because it does look a bit rickety and filthy, for that matter. Hang on, I think my audio.
He never washes his PJs either.
He never washes his what?
PJs.
Anyway, right. So
he moves his star. From one set to another.
Anyway, so the Doctor has a bit of fresh air, gets out of the TARDIS and looks across the field and sees some weird bloke dressed in white. And gets him thinking. The Watcher, just stands there.
And, Herbert.
Meanwhile, the door of the TARDIS, which is within the police box, which is within the TARDIS console room, opens. And within that... there's another slightly darker and very mysterious and
spooky. I love
spooky.
The way they did all that, though.
Yes.
Yes.
And it also has a bit of a sort of refraction thing, sort of has a sort of ongoing thing in Castrovalva, I'd just like to say.
And the way they always have to hang the phone up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a nice touch as well.
Yeah. While Tegan is rolling the flat tire away from the car, rather... why would you do that? It goes in the boot. Back towards the police box.
No.
What?
She has finally given in to Annie Vanessa's request to go and take the tire to the nearby service station.
Yeah.
Well, that would be pointless, wouldn't it? And then she finds a police box and decides to make a phone call. And the door opens. And when she peers in, this is another stupid thing. She's peering in, and the light is all behind you. Would have thought there'd been a bit of light on her face as she's peering into a very white room, but they didn't think of that, obviously. And as she steps in, the police box within the TARDIS console room disappears. But the Doctor and Adric are still in the darkened console room sort of thing. So Tegan then goes on a bit of a sort of confused walk around the TARDIS, and the Doctor and Adric go into an even darker version.
I demand to see whoever's in charge of this ship.
Do you? Well, we're going to do this podcast first.
This is what I love about this episode. Leads us into the fifth Doctor era, and all the mind bending stuff that they like to do during that. You know, that's what made me enjoy that so much. So it's kind of like it's starting here with that TARDIS within a TARDIS within a TARDIS.
Yeah, it does continue nicely into Castrovalva. Anyway, but
Master.
Yes.
The other day, Fred and I were watching the story, and we were in our kitchen watching.
Yeah.
And my wife comes downstairs, and she hardly ever glances at Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at the scene. It was one of the scenes inside the control room. And she's going, "Are those paper plates on the wall?"
Ian Kirk says, "I recently learned the Australian rhyming slam Seppo."
Seppo.
Seppo.
Seppo tank. Yank.
Seppo. How does that work out as a yank? Oh, septic tank.
Septic tank.
Oh, I see. Anyway, right. While all that's going on, Auntie Vanessa is obviously being attacked by a man with a camera, and she tries to attack the man with the camera with a wheel. But apparently the man with the camera is actually the master who does something to her. And then... for some reason, the next time the Doctor goes into the TARDIS, we don't get him into an even darker, virtually completely black TARDIS. He walks out the back
of makes sense.
The police box onto the road. Yes, sorry, Mary.
Found the back door.
And bumps into that chap from Genesis of the Daleks.
Right.
And The Bill and various other well-known British programmes. The police are also investigating the little speed car that's in the background, sports car, whatever you want to call it.
Why were they so upset about the fact that whoever left the car there left a couple of dolls?
Yeah, but they would. I would imagine they would too. In the real, obviously, BBC weren't able to sort of emulate this, but they were supposed to look organic and be blatantly, obviously, not dolls.
But that did look like Auntie Vanessa, though.
They're right, clothes.
Oh, for goodness sake. They weren't able to recreate an organic miniature, were they? Organic-looking miniature. I didn't even know if they could do that now, to be fair. But anyway.
Terror of the Autons, they did the... used the full-size guy
In the suit.
I mean, remember? Make it look like he was a small doll.
Okay, well, I'm not going to give you that one. Right then, so...
don't remember that.
Adric can hear the conversation the Doctor's having with the police people, who for some reason decide he's the man to go over and check these miniaturised dead bodies. While all this is going on, some pervert, like you say, is watching over the fence of the field, and Tegan is getting more and more lost within the rooms of the TARDIS. And then there's a dead policeman and a dead Auntie Vanessa on the front seat. How they got onto the front seat? Oh, the master must have placed them there. And then that's the end of the episode. And of course, the Doctor does say he must have escaped from Traken. Yes, Robert.
No, I'm just saying I like when the Doctor gets in the police car and gets straight out.
But because Adric's listening at the door, the Doctor starts getting in a situation where they're going to arrest him and stuff. He's able to create a disturbance, shall we say, which allows diversion. That's it. Which gives them the opportunity to escape, and they do. They escape. The Doctor needs to get some very accurate measurements for the TARDIS and knows that Logopolis is the place. Where you get these block transfer thingamajigs.
Computations.
That's where he plans to go. But initially, he, of course, I forgot to mention Tegan's still lost. She's now sat in the cloister room because they've got the set available for it. And probably the master TARDIS, does materialise in the cloister room. And I think you do hear a little bit of a chuckle from the master. And the Doctor comes out with this plan because he knows that something, and he thinks it's the Master, is within the TARDIS somewhere, and thinks a way of flushing him out is by perhaps...
Isn't that stupid?
Perhaps materialising the TARDIS underwater.
Stupid.
Stupidest plan ever.
Yes.
Dumb.
So that's what he sets about doing. And they materialise the TARDIS, supposedly underwater, but it's not, obviously, because there's no... they stand by the door. Just imagine if it had been underwater and they're just standing up against the door.
When it'll leave the series.
But of course they're not. They miss the water by about 3 meters, are actually sort of landed on a barge. Tegan, of course, still trapped.
Master.
It's not a barge. Okay, it's some sort of boat.
It is the Cadogan Pier on the Chelsea Embankment.
If you
turn one direction, they did not look. You'll see. What's the name of the that? I'll remember
Battersea
it.
Power Station.
Yeah, Battersea Power Station.
That's in the back.
That's in the background anyway, Kirby.
Is the background anyway?
Yes.
Yes, we had this conversation when we last looked at that.
Can you tell? Right, I'm deducting a point. So that's Kirby and Robert had points deducted. Right then, and standing on the bridge, how did he get there? It's some pervert and dressed in white. He's really got
exactly. How does he get there?
Oh no, we've had that conversation before. That's not the Battersea Power Station in the background, underneath the bridge.
What is it?
That's a different power station. I can find my post.
I don't want to know.
Anyway, because the Battersea Power Station has four stacks, not two.
No, it used to have, although they might have put back together now because they did dismantle
it. That's the conversation that we had last time. Was
did we have the conversation that they dismantled Battersea Power Station and put it back together again? Did we have that conversation?
Yeah.
Did we? Okay. So Tegan is still lost in the cloister room, and then she's getting a bit hacked off now and decides to have one last go of getting out of being struck in a sort of circle. So the doctor goes up onto the bridge and has a chat with the pervert. And as Tegan walks away, the master's TARDIS, I presume that's what it is, dematerializes. And so then the doctor and Adric arrive in Logopolis with a two-dimensional TARDIS, which hovers above some sort of dish thing, which is a bit like the dish in the Pharos product. I nearly got about seven words out during that particular period, but almost a record. Yes,
back in September 2013, it was Alan T. Butcher who said that wasn't the Battersea Power Station. It was looked it up. It was Lots Road Power Station.
Oh, well, there you go. Doesn't exist anymore anyway. Right, so so they arrive in Logopolis and are sort of greeted by lots of people that need haircuts. And then just as they arrive, Tegan wanders
in.
Hey.
I get hungry every time I watch that.
Why? Oh, God, here we go.
Pasties on the back of their heads.
That's another point deducted. Right, then. So they come out. Oh, lots of people needing haircuts.
Are we having a quiz?
Shut up. Tegan arrives and moans about, I want to speak to the pilot of this ship, blah, 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 blah. And then the master's TARDIS arrives as a tree. The doctor just makes friends with the monitor and explains that he wants some very accurate mathematical calculations to repair the...
The actor who plays the monitor, and he's never been in Doctor Who other than this.
Has he not? He's great. Okay. Well, I'm sorry about that. I didn't actually cast this episode of Doctor Who, but if you want to write to the BBC and complain about it, so I don't think you're going to get much out of it.
Is he still alive?
Worth a try.
Yes, he is.
Oh, okay.
He is John Fraser.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
I thought he was good.
Anyway, the monitor takes the doctor into a sort of recreation, rather bizarrely, of the Pharos Project room, where there's a very old-fashioned printer that makes a horrendous noise while printing, but
in obviously got for something a bit modern.
1981, this is very high tech, probably a BBC computer anyway. And the master TARDIS then changes from a bush, which was a very inconspicuous, into a pillar, just so as we know that the master's TARDIS is now a pillar. So they do all these people in these little holes. Why do they need to be in these little holes? I suppose they're trying to create one of the sort of corridor streets in Star Wars, but nevertheless they are. And I think Kirby is about to interrupt me yet again.
Well, I get the impression that those holes are also where they sleep, but if they do sleep. I was also noticing on the computer banks inside the control room are multi... There are hard disks. They're disk packs, removable disks, which are probably four or five disk platters in each one. And the whole thing's probably 1 megabyte or something like that.
Well, I don't think they'd be that big, to be fair. I remember when I was working with a computer in 1991, there was a big hoo-ha when the new computers came in with 1 megabyte hard drives. So I doubt very much... and we were using floppy disks, and I doubt very much that
Have you tried Viagra?
What?
Forget it.
Anyway, so the obviously the, all these little alcoves that these little Logopolitans are in behind them, of course, is lovely.
That's a nice
deluxe
word, Logopolitan.
Abodes, yes.
What if they want to go to the toilet as well?
There's probably a toilet in there somewhere. Anyway, so the master's TARDIS.
No. I'm talking, well, because they have to, you know, intone these lines all the time. You know, when do they get a toilet break?
I'm sure they probably do. Anyway, behind one of the Logopolitans,
they don't always do their calculations because they.
How do you know?
A bunch of them stand around to watch the TARDIS shrink.
That's true.
Look, there's an episode of Big Bang Theory in which they're queuing to go to watch a film, which is Raiders of the Lost Ark or something like that. They're queuing overnight to watch it because it opens at midnight. And Howard is sat there with something he can wee into, some device you can buy. So I'm sure they've got something they can do that they can wee into so they don't have to leave their seats. Can we get on?
What happens if it's number twos?
Oh, God.
Master? I'm sure you went to
toilet. Yes, I went to the toilet before I did the podcast. Now can we get on,
Master?
Yes.
I have a question.
Oh God!
I'm sure you used to go to the toilet, yeah. Doctor Who exhibitions way back in the day.
Mm.
Did they ever put the little miniature TARDIS on display that the Logopolitans are carrying around?
I couldn't tell you. I couldn't remember, but I doubt it. Anyway, right. So.
Yes. Yeah, I love that little one.
Okay, good, fine, right. So, Adric... the Master's TARDIS appears behind one of the Logopolitans and he gets done in and with a little chuckle again. And Tegan continues to moan but joins the little team of the Doctor and Adric. And of course, hang on, I'm just moving on a little bit here. So the Doctor goes into the TARDIS... because he's been given the calculations to sort out the chameleon circuit. But just at that moment,
dun, dun, dun.
Nyssa arrives again. You would think rather bizarrely, but the Watcher, who I would have been a bit worried about the Watcher.
Pivot.
Yeah, and how...
He's abducting women now.
Yeah, how the Watcher got Nyssa to Logopolis, and she, he borrowed the TARDIS. Yeah. I don't know what's going on there, but anyway, he got her there. And the TARDIS starts shrinking. But the Doctor's in there. But why would that be a problem? It's
The consent dimension transcendental.
I don't think Peter Capaldi's Doctor had a problem when the TARDIS shrunk, did he? He didn't sort of start falling on the floor and going a bit dizzy.
No.
Yep. He wouldn't have a problem getting out of it.
He put in a couple of days' work, and someone stuck their hand out of a little miniature TARDIS, and that was that.
Yeah, but I was saying it were just a men, yeah, you would obviously the interior dimension of the TARDIS I would imagine would stay the same, but the exterior meant he wouldn't have been able to get out of it. That's the only problem he would have had. That's what
was it only a couple of stories ago we were discussing I believe Romano was saying how massive the TARDIS was and they're the Logopolitans whatever are carrying it around.
Yeah.
Just for them.
Yeah, but we've already established that the weight side of things are a completely different dimension to the actual Shut up. Right then, so the monitor's feeling quite guilty, of course, that he's cocked up the calculations. The master's laughing his head off, which is really quite amusing. And then we get these shots of Adric and Nyssa and Tegan peering in to the TARDIS through the light, I presume. And Adric then sort of asks if he can help with the calculations because he's quite good at maths. So him and the monitor go around sort of just recounting and stuff like that, and I think eventually they sort of discover where the mistake is, and so that they write down the numbers, and Tegan takes on the task of take on the task. Was it just Tegan? I think it's Tegan showing the Doctor the numbers.
But did you notice how stupid she was? She's covering all the numbers with her fingers.
Naughty, naughty Tegan.
She
showed the right numbers to the Doctor.
Yes,
yeah,
thank
she
you,
showed
Mary.
The ones that needed to be corrected.
Yes, she did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, who knows? They might have been where their fingers were.
So anyway, that sorts that out. But meanwhile,
I remember back in only a few years after this. It was in the early 80s.
Right.
I was doing a lot of stuff using hexadecimal numbers. The base 16 that they're working in there.
There you go. Right then. So Nyssa and is just wandering around the little alcoves and the streets and stuff, and then hear this little Nyssa. Nyssa. And comes out and meets the master and just thinks, oh, it's not at all odd that my father looks about 20 years younger than he did last month.
Yeah.
And he's wearing haircut, black suit and beard. And
yeah, stuff everything like about him is different. So.
And he's acting differently.
How weird.
She knows him right away.
And the master gives Nyssa a lovely bracelet that hurts her a little bit because it's exactly what her dad would have done.
Yeah, but she says it's too small for her. Look at the size of it.
Yeah. Well, I think she's, I'm pretty sure she's talking about the circumference, the inner circumference of the bracelet rather than its actual bulkiness.
Why?
No, the circumference is large. You look how loose it is.
Okay, oh, Mr. Pedantic.
She shoves it up her arm.
I beg your pardon?
And says, oh, it's too small.
Yeah, she shoves up her arm to keep it on, yeah.
And why, in the previous story, it was established that he has that little necklace thing. Why he switched from the necklace to a bracelet?
This is a different master.
Essentially.
It's anyway, written by a different person.
It doesn't matter. Right, so Tegan then sort of obviously finds out that Auntie Vanessa has died. A very subtle explanation
by
the
doctor. But did you like the thing the doctor says?
He says, sorry.
And he says, have you seen her? And he says, well, a little of her.
And then he says, so sorry, Tegan, so sorry, which is obviously he's trying to copy David Tennant there, isn't he, by saying that.
Yes.
Yeah. And she goes off a bit upset. Nyssa, meanwhile, is being sort of coerced into nearly throttling Adric with her special bracelet. And then the master does away with a few more
Logopolitans.
That's the one. Logopolitans. And while the doctor, Nyssa, and Adric are having a conversation, some pervert standing in the background looking really weird, dressed in white.
I just remembered. Excuse me.
No, bless you.
I forgot something. You know when they were showing a. When the doctor's looking to where to land, in the Thames,
yes.
And I was just thinking that view of the Thames when they're looking at it. I was expecting to hear the EastEnders theme.
So I had to wait 30 seconds for you to come up with that. Another point deducted. Right then. Sorry. So,
are we doing a quiz?
I haven't decided yet. I don't know if I can. I've got the will to proceed with the quiz. So that's 3 points deducted for Mel Robert and one for Kirby. All right. So meanwhile, the master is rather pleased with his work so far, and sort of gets Nyssa to almost throttle a few people. And Tegan has a go at him. So I think she calls him something like a nasty little man or something like that. Quite funny. It's so sort of understated, isn't it? And then, of course, for some reason, the master hasn't worked this out. A place that's held together by mathematics starts falling apart when all the mathematical elements are removed. Genius!
Who would think that?
The master, yeah. And he's supposed to be the doctor's equal. Anyway, so Logopolis starts falling apart, and so the master thinks, oh, God, how are we going to get this all sorted out? Well, I suppose I'm going to have to team up with the only clever person here. That'll be the doctor. So, yeah, everything's falling. Even the bracelet that was given to Nyssa starts falling apart. And so, yeah, their only hope is to... something to do with the Pharos Project, isn't it? They have to go back to the real Pharos Project and transmit some stuff to...
People of Earth.
You know, stop the whole universe from disappearing, basically. So the Doctor sends...
That was going to be my quote if I had if we hadn't done the Doctor.
You know, some way I think we'd just had better done that, because I wanted to use the quote that was... Never mind. Right, so the Doctor sends Adric, Nyssa and Tegan away, but Tegan insists on staying and shakes hands in a very iconic scene with the Master, where he's sort of grimacing and sort of cringing while doing it. So, like I say, Tegan stays, and the Logopolis is falling apart around them. The Doctor and the Master catch up with the monitor, but soon afterwards, he disappears. And
Master?
You Master, do you? What do you mean, you Master?
I got the impression, by the way, when we saw some of the rocks falling on a corpse, that may have been one of the corpses from the vampire episode, Say to Decay.
Are you unaware that the BBC does reuse props, Kirby?
Yes.
Yeah, those headphones from the Green Death got used so much.
So I had to waste 20 seconds of the podcast just to hear that. Anyway, sorry. So they
set about something.
You heard the thought of something.
This is from several episodes ago when the Doctor asks Edric to close the door.
Yeah.
Edric reaches for a green button instead of the red knob.
Oh dear.
And also when Edric and Nyssa are going to out of space and time.
Yeah. I've got to
plays around
yet, though,
with the red knob. I thought that was the door control.
Yeah.
Oh, and speaking of the BBC reusing things, I don't know if you noticed, but the ropes that the Lagapolitans are wearing are just the re-dyed costumes from Leisure Hive.
Yes.
Well, there you go. Right then. Mary, right then. Right, so Nyssa and Adric are being taken somewhere by the Watcher. So two children are stuck in a sort of, what would you call it, I suppose, a vehicle with somebody they don't really know and hasn't necessarily got the relevant DBS check. However, the Doctor leaves them with him because he trusts them, you see. But, yeah, like I say, they get taken out of space and time by the screen shrinking and going all negative. During that time, a load of polystyrene falls on the Master. And the Doctor, who's obviously getting a bit tired, struggles to lift the polystyrene off the Master. But he does. And the Master's TARDIS arrives at the real Pharos Project, and the Doctor's really impressed by the Master's ability to put the TARDIS exactly where his TARDIS...
Master.
Exactly. Oh, for God's sake.
Remember what the Doctor said as he pulls that off the Master.
I envy you your TARDIS.
One good turn deserves another. Something.
One good lift deserves another, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yes.
And?
He's just trying to find places to put the quotes that he couldn't say at the beginning.
Bubble memory.
Anyway, the Doctor tries to stop the Master from killing the chap that sat in the chair listening to his music. Because the Master's obviously still got his little tissue, very rude looking tissue compression eliminator.
Yeah, I was about to say that. And as Fred and I were watching, I used a slightly different description of what it looks like.
Yeah. Anyway, so the Watcher, meanwhile, Adric and Nyssa are sort of skulking around the cloisterum, which they have to do because they've built it and they need to use it to. Make it worthwhile, because we don't really see the cloister room again much after this episode. They sort of go off with the Watcher. I just follow the Watcher, who sort of beckons them. Now, it's a point in which the Doctor actually speaks to the Watcher. We don't actually see the conversation, and I think Adric speaks to him. But
yes,
so he can speak.
Well, he must have spoken to Nyssa because she said,
I don't understand. It's really weird that it's all this beckoning and silent stuff, yet he obviously can speak, unless it's telepathic.
I believe it's telepathic.
You believe that, do you? Is that because we didn't see it? Okay, shut up. Right then, because they're out of space and time, Nyssa and Adric are able to watch the universe from the monitor of the... So it's all confusing having a character called the Monitor and having a piece of kit called a Monitor. Anyway, so we have the universe from where they are, their perspective, and a smudge goes across the screen, which is essentially, apparently, the parts of stars and stuff disappearing. Now, the speed in which we saw this smudge going across... Because they were saying, where's Earth? Oh, sorry, Earth is over there somewhere. So at this point, you're thinking, well, that would really wipe the universe out quickly. But the other thing that sprung to mind, I was always under the impression from these physicists and astro people that the universe itself is in perfect balance. So if you take anything out of it, it all goes to pot. It's this exactly the same amount of matter in the universe as there was at the point of the Big Bang. The theory being, of course, that something maybe... extra universal put just one tiny little ingredient into that Big Bang, into that universe to create actually that sort of singularity to actually overload and become a big bang. So that's the interesting part of it for me.
Why, you know, the one thing being removed changes the gravitational pull on everything.
Yeah, especially like the universe is like a net, so it sort of it explodes and it gets to a point where it can't explode any further, and then it goes back in again, and then it becomes a singularity. But it's that point in which the singularity, because they have, I think they found out now, this is very interesting, that yes, a black hole can absorb lots and lots of stuff. There's a point in which it just can't absorb anymore, and it will then explode again. See? And the explosion, the force of the explosion is greater than the force of its gravity. That makes sense. Anyway, I'm just saying.
Or you could say this is a science fiction fantasy TV program.
But I'm talking about a science fact. Well, science theory, even. Science theory, which is more interesting for science fiction fantasy TV shows.
Thalidomide was good for kids.
Yeah, that's a different type of science, for goodness sake. I'm talking about astro science anyway. But the thing is, the smudge that went across the screen wiped out if we look at it, that's supposed to be the whole universe, about nearly a third of it in that one little smudge. Gone.
Well, there's much different graphics in the Blu-ray redo.
Is there? Well, I haven't seen that. Maybe I should do. Is the whole story done in... Oh, I haven't got a Blu-ray, have I?
No.
I have got a Blu-ray, but I haven't got... Oh, never mind.
What?
I don't know why they can't. I think it's almost sacrilege doing redos of these Doctor Who stories. Anyway, so
it's
meanwhile...
It's not sacrilege.
It
is. You don't have to watch it. It's alternate.
I agree. You don't have to watch it. So I didn't. Anyway, so... Right, so...
goodness.
After having seen the universe from a far distance...
Master.
Oh, for God's sake. Yes?
Speaking of science, there's a... They showed this in the theater. It's also on a Blu-ray. There's a whole thing where Nyssa and Tegan.
Oh, Tegan.
Actually, the actresses go to Jodrell Bank and discuss black holes and all this sorts of stuff.
Splendid.
It's actually rather boring.
Oh, so why did he bother saying it then?
It's so
like the bit on entropy. Entropy explains.
Yeah, it's entropy.
Boring, so...
Moving on. Right then. So they decided to have a sort of more magnified look at parts of the universe, including to make sure Earth was still there, basically, which it was. And of course, while that it's looking at Earth, it switches over to Anissa's own sort of solar system, and Traken's gone, which means she has to stay on the TARDIS. That's convenient, isn't it? So the Doctor and the Master.
It's quite silly if you think about it, though. Because
it is.
Traken exists in some state of time. No.
So they could have taken her back before she was born.
Yeah, precisely.
Do you know who you sounded like, though, when you said that, Kirby? You sounded like Leonard from Big Bang Theory. The way you said that. Right then. So the Doctor and the Master are still plotting. Adric fiddles around because the Watcher's told him what to do. Fiddles around with the TARDIS console and gets them back into normal space and time. And a little model of the TARDIS appears in a little model world. And then the real TARDIS appears, and Adric and Nyssa step out of it while the Doctor and Master and Tegan are faffing around. And the Doctor has to keep stopping the Master from killing people.
Master?
Yes.
A couple of observations. First of all, Nyssa and Adric are, neither of them is from Earth, and yet they know what policemen are or security guards enough to know to avoid them.
Oh, they're fairly generic, aren't they?
And the other thing that Fred and I noticed with those security guards is they like to stand around in groups with their hands behind their backs.
Yeah, and that's it's a fairly generic thing that security, police, and everything tend to do.
That's,
and look at the Brigadier, he used to do that quite a lot.
Security guards on the planets where they come from.
Indeed. I think they're guards in most Doctor Who stories, anyway, whether it be police and security and just generic guards.
And actually, Adric does know what police are because he ran across them in the first and second episodes.
Fantastic. Anyway, what I thought was quite weird in regards to the way they put the TARDIS. Obviously, we've just seen Adric and Nyssa walk out of the TARDIS, yet when we see, and it was parked in a field, and then we see the Doctor, Tegan and the Master sort of hiding from some guards, and in the background is the TARDIS rather beautifully backlit with the sun shining through its windows.
Mm-hmm.
So, The Doctor didn't notice this anyway. So they start sort of trying. They're trying to get through to the main sort of telescopy thing. The Master's just about to shoot something, and the Doctor
telescope.
I don't know what it's called, is it? That dish thing.
Radio telescope. Is
so it is a blimmin' telescope, right? Point deducted. That's 4 points off. Anyway, so they get spotted by the security guard people and start legging it. And the Doctor's scarf gets caught in a tree, but he just manages to get
like
it
out. That.
But his coat is still peeping around the edge while they're hiding. And then they get distracted. The guards get distracted by Adric and Nyssa, and Tegan then joins them so as the Master and the Doctor can get to where they need to get to. But during that thing, the Doctor throws away, rather badly, obviously, the Master's tissue
compression
eliminator, but he gets it back again. The Doctor starts climbing up the tower, which is rather, you know, when you think what happens to him in a minute, it's quite sad. And at this point, the Master decides that their little agreement is at an end, because he now has control of the, because he gave the Doctor, didn't he, something to by it's way the- of.
Was it faster than light drive or something?
Yeah, something like that. To prove that he was going to be... But it was a fake.
I don't need that.
Yeah. You don't need
it? No, he just throws it.
Oh, yeah, he throws it out the window because... I've got the real one here. The CBC. It's all mine. It's mine. What's so good about that? Why is he so pleased about having the CBC that he's laughing his head off? Anyway, so they have a few little quite delightful little sort of one-on-ones, bearing in mind, you know, this is the only time we get to see the Fourth Doctor with Anthony Ainley as the Master, and, you know, most of the time we see Anthony Ainley as the Master with all the other Doctors, subsequent Doctors. It's still beautiful to see these scenes because they do, you know, they do bounce off each other really, really well.
Yes.
So the Master's sort of chuckling away, thinking he's won. He does his little speech to the universe and stuff like that. But the Doctor said, "Well, that's only while that's only while the
Listen
wire
carefully.
Holds." So rather conveniently, the other end of the wire is along a very dangerous walkway, and the Doctor trips over. The Doctor trips over the Master with his scarf just for old times' sake.
How did he quickly tie that?
What?
It's a science fiction fantasy TV program.
Yeah, being a TV show, I don't think everything runs to normal time anyway. They do have to skip from time to time. So we're given while the Master was doing his laughing, he could have perhaps done that. I don't know. Anyway, he does. So the Master trips over it, and the Doctor, they have a little skirmish, although the Doctor does look slightly different in part of the skirmishes. I don't know. But while they're skirmishing, Adric, Tegan and Nyssa are standing by this wall, watching it.
Yeah,
watching all. I don't know where the wall was, but anyway, they're doing it. So the Master then switches a switch, and the dish starts turning, but the Doctor's struggling to get to the other end of the cable.
Interesting how the Master punches all his buttons with his middle finger.
And also it's always interesting while he's doing that, while a cardboard cutout of himself is at one end of the walkway.
Ridiculous!
Oh yeah. Yeah. that's even in the Blu-ray.
A rather worried-looking cardboard cutout. While they cut back to actual shots of him sort of laughing and then looking worried. The Doctor, meanwhile, has a problem with gravity while he pulls this cable out. One minute it's falling over, the next minute he's standing on it, then he's falling over anyway. The long the short of it, he does pull the cable out, and a little tiny model of himself is dangling by this long thread.
Unless you watch the Blu-ray with the extra.
Well, let me know what you get on the Blu-ray with the extras.
Well, they actually got a guy to sort of like dangle a few feet off the ground.
Yes, it looks a lot better
feet off the ground. That wouldn't have killed him, would it? No,
what?
It wouldn't. So if he's dangling a few feet off the ground, that wouldn't have done any injuries, would it?
No, but they composited it up looking high.
Okay. Oh, what was he taking to look high? Was it? We got a neighbour that keeps on smoking marijuana. It's
helium. Helium.
Oh, helium. sounding high then, not just looking high. Anyway, so like I say, the Doctor starts dangling from this cable, and we have a beautiful shot of, and this is the moment of who fandom for myself from this point onwards, I was then hypnotized by the world of Doctor Who, because I was just jaw dropped as we look into the Doctor's eye and see into his mind and see all his villains, his enemies, or some of them, over the last 7 years. And the security people start going up the ladder, where they've got no chance of getting to him because he's dangling in the middle of it all anyway. So he tries to grab onto the very, very rickety side of the tower, and while obviously Nyssa, Adric and Tegan are still watching next to the wall. The Master, meanwhile, just laughs a little bit and gets away in his TARDIS, and the Doctor falls to the ground and has a lie down.
And everyone watching him fall.
Yeah,
very quickly.
A different person falling.
So, meanwhile, Tom Baker's having a lie down with his head on a pillow and on some astroturf with some conveniently placed leaves. And
it's the end.
Yeah. The three of them come along, go, Doctor, Doctor, Doctor. What's happened to Nyssa's headwear? Is that still there? No, it's still there. Yes. And while they're saying Doctor, 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 in the Doctor's mind, we see Harry and Sarah Jane and Leela, the canine.
And two Romanas.
Yes, and of course the Brigadier and all these other people. And then he says, it's the end, but the moment has been prepared for. And then something weird goes on with his face. The Watcher sits on his face, basically. And then he goes all crusty and himself and changes.
And for those that don't know,
into Peter Davison.
Did you know that they added the line in post production about Nyssa saying, "Ah, oh, so he was the Master all along"? I mean,
I didn't know that, but I'd rather they hadn't done. Master.
Yeah, I reckon it. It's like not giving us enough common sense to
Use our
ourselves.
Own imagination on it. And they would always been an interest. And he wasn't the Doctor. I never felt like it was the Doctor. I don't know what it was. I still don't know.
Just something
what it was.
To help him along, kind of thing.
Yeah, some sort of guardian angel type
giving
thing.
Giving a little push or whatever.
Yeah, not the actual Doctor. Just maybe.
It didn't really give him a push.
Almost like it. You could have said it was. A living Artron energy being or something like that, and that Artron energy was the energy that he had to absorb to come to regenerate. Basically, that would have been more interesting than just some bloke walking around when that had never happened previously in Doctor Who. Maybe, I don't know, but I don't mind it to that degree. But I know they were trying to do something different.
Yeah, I don't mind it either, because it's classic and that's the way it is. But.
The only thing was a bit of a shame is when the fifth Doctor sits up again, part of my transition to Doctor Who fandom, because I saw obviously the fifth Doctor sit up. I think, oh, right, good. Now I want to see the fifth Doctor. I want to see what he's like. But I had to wait quite a long time to see what he's like. Of course, his hair's completely different. It's all dark because he's only just finished filming All Creatures Great and Small. And I still love the way he sits up and he. And his shoes haven't quite changed yet, have they? And it's just a shame he didn't say anything as well. But the disappointing thing is when the title sequence comes in, they've tried to take Tom Baker's face out of it by doing a strange tunnely reflection-y thing, but you can still see his face on it.
Yeah, I know.
But like I say, when the Sixth Doctor came in, they actually took the time to put a little graphic of the Sixth Doctor's face after the regeneration in. So they actually took the time then, and it was still mid-season or mid-series. So. But anyway, right there.
Master?
Pardon?
Master?
Yes, dear?
This is the end credits for Episode 4 are also the last time we see...
Doctor Who.
A credit for Doctor Who.
You're wrong.
This...
You're wrong.
Oh.
You're wrong, because I'm fairly sure that Christopher Eccleston's era, he was called Doctor Who.
Oh, you're right.
Well, I usually am. Anyway,
just save for that until the end of the classic era. Then.
Yes, yeah, okay. the last time for the classic era. There we go.
You're right that you had to wait a long time, because this last episode showed in March of 1981.
Yeah.
And Mr. Valva didn't show until January of 82.
That's 9 months. There's still less time than we have to wait now.
It's a long time.
Yeah. So
Logopolis. Even longer in Australia.
Logopolis. Right. Obviously, I've been sitting here trying to pick little holes in it, which really don't matter because
I absolutely love
this story, for not just because it's the story that turned me into a Doctor Who fan. It's just so good. It obviously introduces the Fifth Doctor's companions really nicely. Anthony Aney. I mean, yes, we may have Delgado as our favourite master, but Aney is easily the second favourite master, even including the modern incarnations. He's absolutely brilliant as the master. Yes, he's got a funny laugh, but hey, doesn't matter, does it? Obviously, there are silly things. Like even with when we go into Castrovalva next time, you would have thought they could have used the same area to have that continuity for where they're running away and running into the TARDIS with the Doctor, but it's a completely different area. That sort of little film, because I'm slightly pedantic, annoys me a little bit. Or you would have thought maybe it would have been sensible to actually film it at the time, but they couldn't because Peter Davison was in studio. But anyway, so I think actually there's some footage, isn't there, of the behind-the-scenes footage of the regeneration and stuff,
yes,
isn't there?
Yes, which it's is actually also a little boring.
Interesting. But yeah, this is brilliant. I absolutely love Logopolis. And this is when John Nathan Turner's sort of period as the producer was really, really good. Things looked like their Doctor Who was on a good footing for a few years. And of course,
yeah,
the only thing we had of John Nathan Turner's sort of obsession with sort of doing the history of Doctor Who within Doctor Who was the little flashbacks that the Fourth Doctor was seeing just before he regenerated, which is acceptable because you almost expect that at a regeneration scene. I think we've had it, or a little sample of it in most regeneration scenes since. Certainly with Capaldi and Smith, there was a bit of a sort of flashbacky sort of thing. I did love Capaldi's little flashback with the glass creatures. But anyway, yeah, Logopolis.
And Tennant's flashback by going and visiting everybody.
Yeah, a little bit. and of course, Smith with seeing Amy when obviously Karen Gillan was exceptionally famous. So all in all, I absolutely adore Logopolis. It's not my favourite of all time, but I'd say it's certainly my third favourite Tom Baker story.
What is your favourite?
I think I keep saying it's Pirate Planet. Closely followed by City of Death. Closely followed by
City of Death for me.
Closely followed by
Adam. Since you said that this was the episode, or this was the story that really cemented you as a Doctor Who fan, so does that mean that you were a Fourth Doctor fan, or
no,
you
Fifth
are
Doctor.
More?
That's why Fifth Doctor's my favourite Doctor, because he's the one that, you know, I couldn't miss Doctor Who after this. It was the thing, and I just wanted to learn as much as I could about Doctor Who as a series, and that, I think it was around this time I read the Planet Spiders book, because obviously I missed that regeneration because I wasn't able to see it, and this continued up to when I was 21 or 2021 when I met Alistair, and it is why I have Alistair's painting of the Fifth Doctor hanging above my mantelpiece, because he's my favourite Doctor. But so there you go. I just love it. So let's move on then. Kirby, what did you think of Logopolis?
I've always loved this story. This was the first regeneration story I ever saw. I saw it at a convention back in the early 80s, and I think I skipped something very important at whatever convention that was in order to see a regeneration.
That was your first then?
That was my first regeneration, yes. And also, Anthony Ainley was the first master I ever saw, and yeah, I agree, since we've been doing the journey, the Delgado's better, but I've got very fond memories of Anthony Ainley's master, and since he goes on and on and on, even through the last story,
yeah,
it's kind of cool. There's a few weird scientific things, which I basically ignore because I love it too much. So there.
That was easy, wasn't it? Are you done?
Yes.
Oh, my. Right, okay. Robert, what did you think of it?
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I absolutely love it as well. Except for, the scientific thing. It's supposedly, for Chris Bibmead to come along and say, oh, I'm going to do it all science and all that. And then what, you got mathematics making things by Antony. But, I just overlook that like you guys as well. But I only picked that up from watching the episode. But, and just got to mention Paddy Kingsland's music because I always love his music as well. He does such a good soundtrack, I think, throughout, this past season. And I think, this season was really – when you look at the season that came beforehand with Graham Williams, it was looking very sad and tired. But with this past season, everything looked shiny and new, and there's a bit of energy about it. And it worked up nicely until Tom Baker said goodbye.
Yeah.
And, lovely. Very lovely. Well done.
And considering that sorry.
Go ahead.
No, just saying, considering that there was a Tom Baker left, because I don't know whether he didn't get on with John Nathan Turner or didn't like what he was going to do with the show.
I think he was just a bit grumpy around the time.
John Nathan Turner gave him a great send-off. I mean, that with not just with Legopolis, but with the series as a whole, series 19 as a whole.
Yeah. Speaking of...
I think he wanted to carve out his own.
Pardon, Kirby?
Speaking of Paddy Kingsland and the music, I mean, just the music during the moment it's been prepared for is so iconic.
Oh, it is. And there was little harkings to that music throughout the story as well.
And if you'll recall the Doctor Who proms for the 50th, Paddy and they did that music during one point. Paddy Kingsland was in the audience.
Oh, was he? Cool.
Yes.
Cool. I mean, I didn't like all of his music, but it did work really well for that. But for this episode, it really did work well. I think Alistair has got either a recording of – there was an album released of Doctor Who incidental music without the words and stuff. I think he's pretty sure he's got some of that sort of stuff. It's probably available somewhere. Anyway, so what did you think of it then? Mary, hang on.
You forgot her intro.
If you let me carry on, right, another point to that. Yeah. Hang on. So Robert's got four down. You've got two. What do you think about it, Mary?
Well, music aside, I think it is a mess of contradictions and just things that don't make sense. when we watched this, I guess it was 2013. Yeah. Out of order, back then, I don't think I must have thought much of it then because I didn't understand a lot of the references that were being made during it.
Context.
Yeah. Everything out of context. So I must not have liked it then. Mm. So I thought, okay, this time, now that I know, since we're doing the journey that, where everything is going to fall into place, I'm sorry, but it was still, for me, an incomprehensible mess. There's just so many things that don't make sense. So many things that have me looking at the screen and going, what? Why did they do that? Or where did that come from? Or didn't anybody notice that huge tree that appeared in the crowd there? And they also don't notice when it goes away. And I mean, just so many things.
Makes enough noise.
They're just, and why are we making a big deal out of a couple of dolls in a car? And I understand now that I've done a little reading about it, that it's a mess because it was written that way. This is kind of a conglomeration of two stories that Bidmead wanted to do, and John Nathan Turner wanted to insert all kinds of stuff. Tom Baker, he walking out on script even.
Oh, you did notice it then. Sorry, I just wondered. You said that nobody noticed the sound of the TARDIS materialising. I do apologise. I just wanted to see if anybody would. Carry on, Mary. I do apologise.
Well, I noticed. I thought you were trying to run me out. Even Tom Baker was walking out during the script reading and throwing fits during the he didn't want to die that way. It wasn't originally planned for him to just like fall to his death. There was supposed to be some heroic fight scene in which he saves the world. You know, that he would triumph, but then he would be mortally wounded. That kind of thing. So
it's essentially what happened, though, but not quite in the way he wanted.
Not quite. You know, this this isn't the way he wanted it to go. And it was originally planned that this Watcher that was written in there was supposed to be the non-bodied form of the new Master. Uh-huh. And when that wasn't going to work out because of the way they totally rearranged everything, they decided that, okay, they'll make him, you know, like a future kind of chrysalis of the Doctor. And then because they decided that and they weren't going to introduce the Master in this, they decided to go back and reshoot. They did a little reshoot at the end of what was the one we just did?
Keeper of Trakan.
Yeah, Keeper. That's why at the very end the Master suddenly becomes, you know, Tremus, because that they gave him that body then. So, yeah, so it was a mess when I first watched it. It still is a mess. What was it? Something that I – oh, yeah. And the scene in the control room where Nyssa is not in control of her hand and she's going to, I guess, choke Adric. This is an extremely awkward scene because it's going on and on while her hand is, you know, like doing whatever it's doing. Adric is like, you know, having a lot of, and they're all just standing around watching it before anybody does anything. I thought, oh golly, this is a sad scene. So that's my feeling. I like the music, but other than that, no, I don't think I'd watch this again, except that it brought us the Fifth Doctor, who is my favorite Doctor, too, and at least as much because they introduced some things in this story that they're going to continue, like I said earlier, you know, that some of the mind-bending kind of things that were becoming popular at the time. So
you didn't like it then, Mary?
Well, I'm excited to be going into the Fifth Doctor era.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
If they didn't plan on Tremas being the Master, why did they call him Tremas?
Anyway, can we carry on?
T-R.
Yeah. Ian Kirk says, the Master's TARDIS looks like a tree when the Master looks like Tremas.
Yeah.
Lillian Robbins says, Logopolitans are wearing very nice tights. Alan T. Butcher says, it's supposed to be a mess. That's entropy for you.
All right, Alan.
So I think we should perhaps look in to the feedback.
Meow.
I just hope that this particular feedback is actually going to be loud enough, because sometimes it doesn't.
Hello there, 20 megabyters. How are you doing? Okay, it's nice to be back.
Hey.
It's been a while. Legopolis. This type of story or plotline is not one that I'm usually ever captivated by in Doctor Who. Initially, I prefer to see a spectacle of a story. You know, when I say that, I'm talking about stories like Day of the Daleks, Seeds of Doom, Doomsday from the Tennant era. Yeah, and many others, of course. Scientific jargon such as charge vacuum embodiments being powered by a mathematical prowess of the brain to prevent entropy of the universe. Gosh, it sounds good when I say that. I sound clever. But no, it's not one that I'm... scientific jargon does not particularly warm to me in Doctor Who. For example, what is gate? I still haven't got a monkey's what that's about. I don't. Anyway, back to Legopolis. Despite what I've just said, you know, the storyline I didn't like, but this story, for many reasons, I just love it. Obviously, being Tom's last story, very sentimental, with some great elements, such as the Watcher. What a fantastic concept. Great stuff. And the introduction of the Master in humanoid form. Brilliant. And the fabulous music of Paddy Kingsland. I love Paddy's music, I really do. In fact, I remember Adam saying, I think about a week ago, or was it 2 weeks, that he finds that you find Paddy Kingsland's music quite distracting. I absolutely love it, I do. Yeah. But yes, all the above is why I like this story. I'll revisit it many times. I'll go back to it. And in fact, I was listening to a podcast recently, another one, that was also reviewing Legopolis.
Copycats.
And they described Legopolis as a mood piece. I thought, what a wonderful description of Legopolis. Yeah, I love it. Great stuff. Take care.
Thank you very much, Billy. Well,
thanks, Billy.
There's
a couple of podcasts that are also doing the journey. They're almost exactly where we are.
Copycats? Wow.
Yes.
I wonder where they got that idea from. Well, I got my idea from being on the inside. So did you notice, everybody, that Kirby talked over me then? Do you think that's worth deducting a point? Nah, not really.
Yes.
Okay, right. So I'm just going to prep this next little bit.
Who's lost the most points?
I think you've lost 4, Kirby's lost 1, and Mary's lost none.
One?
Mm. Well, you're trying to lose more then. Oh, was it 2? No, it's 2. Sorry, Robert. You've lost 2. Right then, so let's prep ourselves for the next instalment of feedback, which is from this chap.
Hello? Anybody there?
Yes, the 20 Megabyte Podcast is here.
Hey.
When I started typing my script, the power plug came loose from my computer monitor, so we nearly got no feedback from me. Last week, I accidentally said my voice recognition password. Luckily, there was an awful buzz to distort it.
Ah, very funny.
Legopolis by Christopher Bidmead. This is mathematics as a religion. There are some people that think that the universe is based on mathematics, instead of the other way around. Why did an Australian flight attendant, flying for an Australian airline, have her first flight from London?
Good point.
When a car pulls into the lay-by with a flat tyre, we hear the sound of a flat tyre, but it is not flat on screen until the car is stopped.
Mary loves that one.
I wonder if the crew had to prevent people from stopping to help the two actresses during filming. Mm-hmm. We have an Australian companion. Soon, we will have an American companion. Yes. Well, sort of. The master needs a real shrink, not a tissue compression eliminator. The policeman gets killed. Auntie Vanessa gets killed. The population of Legopolis gets killed.
Yes.
Everyone on Tracking gets killed.
Yep.
And the doctor gets sent to the vet.
Ah!
And then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like...
I'd like to speak to the pilot!
Bye for now.
Ian Kirk, everyone.
Yay!
Right then, I have some words that have come through from a regular contributor to the show, which I'm just about to send to someone. Everybody's sitting there rather worried about who's going to receive this particular bit of blurb, because you've all, for a change, gone very,
I think it's
very quiet.
Kirby's turn.
Pardon?
I said I think it's Kirby's turn.
I did it very recently.
I did it last time.
Oh, dear. No, I don't think you did, actually, because... Oh, maybe you did. Oh, it doesn't matter. I know that Alan would actually ask for you to do it because he can't get enough of your dulcet tones. I don't think none of us can get enough of that. Have you got it?
Yes, I do. You want me to read now?
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Okay. The second law of the Logopolis, or is regeneration actually mathematical endomorphism? Dear 20 Megabyters, Legopolis is, of course, a closely studied contemplation of death and change. We are shown the death of human victims incidentally murdered at the edge of the narrative. We are shown the death of people who are at the center of the narrative, supporting the universe itself beyond its natural life, but turning to dust on the streets of Legopolis after just a tiny interference, and we are shown the commencement of the death by everything as the universe crumbles by natural physical laws, but is saved by being open to something new. Whew, what a long sentence. So our thesis inevitable. Oh, Alan, that's an error.
Hey.
So our thesis inevitably turns to being that surviving into the future is contingent to always being open to something new and never close-minded or limited in our outlook. This paves the way for the death of our doctor and the psychological leap we must make to believe that some beige vet is going to embody a character we have be delighted, enthused, and amused by for 7 long years of adventure. Hang on to that hope, everyone, because if you can't make that leap, then the doctor is dead. You are the watcher all the time here to witness the change and see it through. Without you, the doctor is nothing. It should be noted that whilst some accused this of being a bit of a dry end to a colorful doctor, in fact, the decline of the fourth doctor was very well managed, and this somber end is very powerful, and this may be woolly thinking, but it is very comforting, worn close to the skin. We also learned that the scientific elite chap called Cavell escaped from Scarrow and became a detective inspector in the late 20th century, who investigated some small murder cases in the north of England.
Yes.
All in all, Legopolis is a worthy end to a phenomenal Doctor Who. This is a beautiful, albeit melancholy story, as it had to be to respect the remarkable character created by a remarkable actor who did something so new and so right with a role with so much history, there may have been a danger of staleness and decline after its former successes. There was never any of that. To end his time with a real and basic universal threat could not have been more appropriate at any time, and to rebirth an old element, the master of the show, just as it changes again so dramatically, was also a worthy stroke of greatness for this show, which is, was, and always will be great. This story is perhaps 26 episodes too short, as then we might have had another year with Tom Baker as Doctor Who. But no, that is not how the universe works. Next up, Doctor Who and the bin-headed librarian of recursive occlusion, or the beige bed has a lie down. Those are my thoughts. T. Butcher.
Wonderfully read, Mary. Okay, right, we did have a request for feedback via Mr. Bartlett Sloan, which got some rather comedic results. Lillian Robin says, initially, one of the first stories my dad showed me when I was little, and one of my favourite stories. I still don't quite understand the nature of the Watcher. Nor does anyone. I don't even think the Watcher understands the nature of the Watcher. Anyway, why haven't we seen him again?
I don't think Mr. Bright understood the nature of the Master.
Have we seen the Watcher in Big Finish?
Not as far as I know.
Mm. Yeah, no, I don't think so.
I think it's probably the only character that's never really come back.
The Watcher doesn't have any lines.
No, that's true.
On audio.
Well, they do the Weeping Angels, don't they?
Yeah. Billy Kirkbright had said he'd sent feedback. Alan T. Butcher posted a picture of some Lego, Doctor Who Lego, to be precise, hence the reference Legopolis, which, of course, Lillian Robbins saw as a cue to post a little video of her legs. And Chris Miller said, I've got to stop misreading it as Legopolis. Lillian then, that's my cue. So there we go. That was the pathetic list of feedback for the show. I will say that just under that particular poster is the sad death of the old 20 megabyte podcast clock, which you would have heard in the background for about 150 episodes.
Well, you're going to replace it? What are you going to do?
We have a clock, but it doesn't chime.
Can you get it fixed?
No, the power points within the clock have corroded so badly that the batteries in it that actually operate the chime, I can't get out, not even with a screwdriver. And the one that actually powers the clock, the power points just went ping, and it no longer can receive a battery, let alone run the clock. So it is... all intents and purposes, dead. But it did serve us well for about 15 years.
At least you've got the memory of it.
I've got a
picture
of
it. You can, if you so desire, just listen to your podcast.
Yeah.
Old episodes, and you got it chiming away.
And Kirby going, hello, Clack.
I used to love that.
So, guess what? It's now time for the return of You Won't Get This One. And I can't find the theme. There it is. This is where all the listeners leave. Viewers. Now, I do feel that in order to prevent anybody else getting any further points deducted, that when I ask you who you think's going to win or be ahead at the end of the pointing scoring game, i.e. the betting part of the procedure, you're not allowed to pick yourself, okay? And you're not allowed to pick the same person twice. So please bear that in mind, otherwise there will be further points deducted. Mary, who do you think's going to win?
I think Robert will win.
Okay. Stop. That was Robert doing the master's laugh there. Robert, who do you think is going to win?
Got to be Kirby.
And Kirby, who do you think is going to win?
Robert.
Okay.
What?
So, Mary.
Fresh on me suddenly.
Mary, who do you think is going to be last?
And I'm not allowed to pick myself, huh?
No, you can pick yourself. No, I've decided no, you can't.
Okay. All right. Well, then my only other choice is Kirby.
That make it rather awkward, doesn't it? Robert, who do you think is going to be last?
Probably Mary.
And Kirby, who do you think is going to be last?
Yeah, you don't have any other choice.
Yeah.
There's nobody left. So who do you think is going to be last, Kirby? See if you can work it out.
Mary.
Right, you all each have a joker, and the current scores are: in last place with -4 is Kirby, in second place with -2 is Robert, and in the lead with no points, it's Mary. Question number one. Oh, where's my bell? Hang on, let's put that in a place so I can actually hit it. But although there's a chance you might not actually get any answers right. So hang on, let's get my TV remotes out of the way, because that's going to impact on my ability to hit the bell. Let's see if it works. No, it won't, because you might think you've scored a point. First question goes to Mary. If I can find the scoreboard, there it is. Are you ready, Mary?
Oh, as always.
Good, right. What borough council is displayed on the litter sign by the police box at the beginning of the story?
I'll play my joker.
Go on,
please take your litter home.
No, that's not what the... it's what borough council is displayed.
Council? Yes. Oh, well, then I don't know the answer to that.
I'll let you off the accidental playment of your joker there, because I don't think I will accept that you didn't quite understand the question.
Yeah.
So therefore it's...
But you said what borough council sign. Okay.
No, that's wrong. Oh, Kirby said I know, didn't you, Kirby?
Barnett.
Indeed it is.
You repeat that, I didn't hear.
Tough. Oh, well, the question...
Barnett
Borough Council.
Barnett. Oh, yes. Don't know it.
Half an hour just to do one question. Unbelievable. This is going really well. Right then. Who is the first character to speak in the story? Robert, that's your question. Who is the first character to speak? What? You say you know?
I know.
Okay, we'll let Robert answer the question first.
Is it the policeman?
Well, funny you should say that, but... Oh, hang on. Where's the... Oh, there it is.
No, oh, sorry.
No. You've given your answer. You can't say another one.
Yeah.
Right then. What's your name again? Kirby, isn't it?
It was Adric.
Oop, I accidentally put +2 on your score. That's right.
Oh, you can do that.
Well, I'm not going to. Kirby, your question.
Master.
What is Tegan's first word?
Tegan's first word. Oh, yeah. It's Joker.
Yeah.
Passport.
And there are 2 points in the bonus pot for the first bonus. I can't speak. For the first person to say, I know. Okay. And this is the first.
And the first person that says, I know, and gets it correct.
Well, you know what I mean, Kirby.
I didn't.
You're pushing.
I was going to say I know.
Trying my patience.
Because I would get a point.
Yeah, for the first person that says I know and can answer the question correctly. You know how the game plays.
Yes, but I'm pedantic.
Right, here's the question. What number is Auntie Vanessa's house?
I know.
Go on then.
43.
I'm getting very suspicious of Mr. Bartlett Sloan.
No, No.
Has somebody been looking at the old questions?
No, I'm getting suspicious.
I didn't even listen to our last one.
Okay. Are we to believe him after his past exploits?
Listen.
Yes.
What did I point out about that house?
That it was where Megalos was written.
Correct. Therefore, I know things
Chris
like Benjamin's
that. Chris Benjamin's house, is it? No. Okay. John Tullock.
Whatever. Right, after half an hour. Mary, your question.
Okay.
What exclamation does Tegan say when he discovers... She discovers the flat tyre?
That's easy.
So that means you know the answer then, Robert?
Yeah.
Yeah, go on then, Mary. What's the answer?
I'm guessing, is it rabbits?
Yeah. Your guess. Nope. Robert, you said you knew the answer.
No, I don't know, actually.
So you don't know the answer. All right, okay.
Too late.
But I'll let you say the answer, even you won't get any points for it, Kirby. Go on.
It's Hell's Teeth.
It is Hell's
Everybody
Teeth.
Knows that.
Apparently not.
I have seen this one so many times.
Hell's Teeth. Right then, Robert.
Yes.
Why does Adric open the TARDIS within the TARDIS?
Why?
Yeah, why does he open it? He does, obviously, there's an answer to this question, otherwise it
Doctor
wouldn't be...
Doctor asks him.
Pardon?
Doctor asks him.
Well, the thing is... No. Anybody?
I don't know.
Wow! Unbelievable.
Maybe?
I've never heard that said before. Well, that therefore is another... And the answer is... He thinks it might have something to do with the gravity bubble. Okay. Right then. Kirby.
Master.
What was the name of the constable with the sergeant when he opened the police box?
I don't know.
Wow. We're on a roll. Anybody?
So, see, I don't.
All right, never mind. Anybody know the answer?
No. No.
Right, okay. So that's a... And the answer is Davis. Or should we, harking to Davison? Eh? Maybe?
Maybe.
6 points in the bonus pot.
Mm.
I'm not going to go for the rules of bonus pot question answering again, but here's the question. What did the Doctor and Adric do to the Omega configuration when they prepared to materialise underwater? It's all gone very quiet again.
I didn't even know they referenced
the Omega. Well, I'll make a guess.
I'll go on,
the only thing I made a note of it says that they fold back the Omega. Oh, okay.
Wow, Mary.
Yeah. I don't know why.
You didn't play your joker on that one. That would have been quite a lot of points.
Yeah, but I was just guessing.
Right then, so the scores then, after those rounds of questionings. In last place with -2 points, it's Robert. In second place with 4 points, it's Kirby. And in the lead with 6 points, it's Mary. Mary's question is coming up. On what London Bridge does the Doctor discuss the future with the Watcher?
I don't know.
Therefore, I know.
You get this sound effect.
I told you.
And Kirby knows, apparently.
It's Albert Bridge.
Is the correct answer.
It was referenced in all that stuff back when we were talking about
You mean it was referenced in the previous time you reviewed the show? So you're saying you didn't listen to the episode, but now...
No.
No,
you didn't hear me.
When we talked earlier.
I brought up the thing about where we discussed the... power station, and
you,
it was
you
in
brought
all
up
that.
My ear, did you? Okay. Right then, so Robert, your question.
Oh no.
What does the Master's TARDIS change into while in the cloister room?
Wasn't that the tree? What? I got one right.
Yeah. Indeed. What's a plant, but a tree will do.
I'm still -1.
Right then, Kirby.
Master.
I've lost where it was. Oh, yeah. Right. What does Tegan say on meeting Adric and the Doctor?
I don't know.
I think I know.
Oh, hang on. Let's do this sound effect for Kirby. And then Mary will come up with the answer.
I demand to see whoever is in charge of this ship.
Word for word correct. Should get an extra point for that, which you're going to get.
That was going to be one of my quotes.
Well done.
Same here. I was going to say that. Oh, I did say that.
Okay, it's a bonus point.
I'll have to see whoever's in charge of this ship.
Bonus point. Sorry, two bonus points in the bonus pot for this question. Where is the fault in the mathematics? It's all gone quiet over there.
The writer of the show.
No, nobody seems to know, so I'm going to tell you. It's in the dimensioning routine. So those 2 points stay in the bonus spot. The scores are in last place with no points, Robert in second place with 5 points, Kirby in the lead with 8 points, Mary, it's Mary's go, and there's still two jokers to play. Mary, this is your question. What do Logopolitans use computers for?
Wow.
Tetris? Solitaire?
I'll have to say I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
That is fair enough. Anybody?
I don't know.
Kirby.
Wow, Kirby.
Can I make a guess?
Oh, go on then.
Is it to check their numbers are correct or something?
Well, yes and no, but it is a computer, so people generally use them for checking things like that in those days before games came into the forefront of computing. No, the answer is to record the code and prepare new algorithms. Okay. Right, so, Robert.
Fair enough.
I believe that was Mary's question originally, so we're moving on to Robert's question. Where does Tegan come from? And if you say Australia, you get a point deducted. That's correct. Well done.
Should have played your joker on that one because you were so quick there.
How did I jam that one?
How did you not play your joker? Anybody with left jokers at the end of the game has 2 points deducted for... No, it's a point, sorry. 1 point deducted for... No, it's two, isn't it? Because it's double. 2 points deducted for still having their joker in play. Just letting you know. Kirby.
It's 3:30 in the morning.
That's the weakest excuses.
I cannot think.
Right, who does the doctor thank when the TARDIS is restored to normal size?
Ah, the monitor. The monitor.
Was that your question?
No, it's Kirby's question.
I thought it was my question.
Right, it's your question, well, Kirby.
Kirby's so slow answering it.
Yeah, right. Kirby, who does the doctor thank when the TARDIS is restored to normal size?
Is it the monitor?
Well, it is, but I'm not going to give you a point for that.
Sorry, Kirby.
No, I'm not going to... Anybody?
Nope.
Right, okay. Well, Oops, I sure swore on the screen. Right, I'm just typed in the wrong number. Right, then, so the answer is the monitor and Tegan. You needed both to get the points.
Oh.
Doesn't that mean a half point, though?
No.
Yeah.
No.
No, I would get the half point.
No.
Yeah. No, because he said it first.
No, I should really have deducted Robert points.
It wasn't his turn.
I should have deducted Robert points for that, but I'm being kind. It's very new, isn't it? Bonus pot, 6 points in it. Remember, if you've got a joker, play it, you double your points. So,
as if you get it right.
Exactly. Right, here we go. What does the master emit to stop Logopolis?
Admit.
Emit. Here they emit, E-M-I-T. What does the master... Go on in, Kirby.
A sound-canceling wave.
Got there in the end, didn't we?
Didn't you play your joker?
I already used my joker, so I didn't have to.
Yes. Okay, that's correct. So the points then, before we move on to the next round. In last place with 2 points, Robert. In second place with 8 Yay. Points, Mary. In the lead with 11 points, Kirby. Next question goes to Mary, and it is this. If I can find it. There we are. Right. What is Logopolis to the universe according to the monitor?
I don't know.
Anybody?
I don't know.
Wow.
What?
Indeed, what? The answer is the keystone.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes. Next question goes to Robert. What does CVE stand for?
Charged vacuum emboitment.
You should have played your joker.
You should have played your joker. Indeed, you should.
I'm not thinking it's 3:33.
I don't give a tinker's cuss. Kirby's question.
Robert, what I do to remind me of to play my Joker is I've got this thing I've had for years. It's a piece of wood that has
Joker you hit yourself written on it.
and when I keep it in sight. And then when I play my Joker...
It does rather worry me that we're on an audio presentation and you're talking about keeping wood in sight, Kirby. Can we just get back to the quiz? Right. Kirby, your question.
Master.
What is the Doctor's response to the Master's together?
Oh, I know.
To the what?
The Master's inverted commas... together. What is the Doctor's response to the Master's together? He says together, remember? When he shakes
together,
they shake hands.
I was trying to figure out what the Master is saying together.
Yeah, get on with it.
One last hope.
Oh, God. It's like that was painful. Right. 2 points in the bonus pot for this question. What happens to the Master after he leaves when the monitor dissolves?
So the Master, did you say?
Yeah, what happens to the Master after he leaves when the monitor dissolves? What happens to the Master after that? Oh, good grief.
Can I say I know then?
Go on, Em.
Well, that's where he goes to visit that Logopolitan's house where his column is, and then the thing falls down and traps him, isn't it?
Long, long answers for the actual answer.
It was a long answer.
Something the actual somewhere answer, in there, even though that was included in there somewhere, was he gets hit by a rockfall. He becomes a victim. That's all it was. But yes, it was in there. That is the correct answer. Right then, scores are in last place with 6 points. Could have been more. Robert, second place with 8 points. Mary, in the lead with 13 points. Kirby, next question goes to Mary. Where does the Watcher take Adric and Nyssa?
Oh. Menage a trois.
To the TARDIS.
Well.
I know.
Kirby knows.
The Doctor takes them to the TARDIS, outside of space and time.
Okay.
Correct. Right, next question goes to Robert. Yes. Where is Earth according to Adric? You won't get this one.
Oh, I know that one.
Good, but Robert won't.
It's not Mutter Spiral, I don't know.
No. Mary?
The Earth is in Sector 8023 of the third quadrant.
God.
Indeed. And because I said you won't get this one, you get double points, which is essentially
wow.
Two.
Wow.
Oh, yay for me.
Yeah.
Right, Kirby.
Someone took a lot of nights.
After Nyssa realizes Traken is gone, what other planet does she pine over?
Oh. I know that one too.
Woohoo! I'm getting excited about Mary's knowledge of this story. But Kirby, what do you think?
I don't know.
Mary?
Well, in desperation, I'll use my Joker.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
The Matilla Orientis.
That'll do.
Oh, yes. That's fun.
4 points in the bonus pot for this question. What is the Pharos...
Did you just physically put them in the pot?
Yeah. What do you think this is? It's a low budget podcast, you know. We don't have high tech things here, you know. What is the Pharos project technician listening to as the Master, Doctor, and Tegan arrive?
Was he listening to specific music?
Yes, he was.
Yes, he was. I don't remember what it was.
It was classical, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, yes.
Oh my gosh, it was from an opera.
Mm. Yes, it was.
Birdie.
No.
Anybody know?
No.
And
therefore, the answer, hang on, let's press this again, is Schubert's Unfinished Symphony.
Oh,
and it's not from an opera.
Yeah, no, I thought he was listening.
Well, it doesn't matter. That's what it was. Right. So where we are now with hardly, well, not very many questions left, is 6 points in the bonus pot. The scores are 6-14-14. Fairly obvious who's got those points. And Robert's still yet to play his Joker. And here's the bonus pot question. Who leaves the TARDIS after Nyssa and Adric?
When are we talking about?
Oh, for goodness sake. Obviously, when Nyssa and Adric have only left the TARDIS when it arrives on Earth. So who leaves the TARDIS after Nyssa and Adric?
I think I know.
Well, that's a good then. Are you going to answer the question?
It would be the Watcher.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that, but I didn't say I know soon enough.
Right, that's good. Right. So, next question goes to Mary. What constellation is the CVE in line with?
I know.
Cassiopeia.
You're very good at this, Mary.
Yep.
Okay. Robert.
Yes, sir.
Whose image does the Doctor first see in his mind while he hangs by the cable?
I play my Joker, can I?
Yes, you can.
It's the egg-faced master.
Egg-faced master?
Well, he looks like he's got two eggs for eyes.
Okay. Yes. Ping-pong balls.
Yeah. Right then. Kirby.
Master.
Who first calls out Doctor as he lies on the ground?
After the all the bad guys?
Whatever. Whatever.
Yeah, when he's on the ground.
Yeah, he's on the ground.
That would be Nyssa.
Why does your answer always take about half an hour?
to irritate you, of course.
Got to clarify.
Right, there are two questions left. The bonus pot is no longer to be filled, because it wouldn't work that way, you see. And the scores are as follows. In last place with 10 points, Robert. Second place with 16 points, Mary. And in first place with 22 points, it's Kirby. Here's the second to last question. Who composed the incidental music for Legopolis?
I know.
Yeah. Well, who is it then, Kirby?
Goodness.
Annie Kingsland.
Did he? Really?
And the final question is, who directed Legopolis?
Oh, I know.
Go on then, Mary.
Peter Grimwade.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Oh, it's Grimwade
syndrome from.
Indeed, right there. Yeah. So far.
Robots of Death.
The scores are in last place with 10 points, Robert in second place with 18 points, Mary and in the lead with 24 points, it's Kirby. But we have the bet situation to get into consideration. Mary predicted Robert to win and Kirby to be in last place. Kirby predicted, Robert predicted Kirby to win. Oops, wrong column. And Mary to be in last place. And Kirby predicted Robert to win. And Mary to be in last place. So the final scores.
I got one right.
Yeah, well, I think you're the only person that did. Is in last place with 18 points, Mary. In second place with 20 points, Robert. And the winner this week with 24 points, it's Kirby. Right, so
I by the way, I've already updated the spreadsheet. I promised that I will not go back and listen to things anymore.
Oh, don't hark on about that, Kirby.
That we had done questions for.
That's funny. Sorry, that's just
right. So I am not cheating anymore. Yeah,
Kirby,
I got half
my you're not cheating wrong. Anymore.
As much as you've promised, as much as you promised not to do it.
Robert, you missed something, I guess. I did cheat about a year ago.
Anyway.
Al?
As much as you...
Yes, exactly a year ago. It was
me,
October
Kirby,
3rd.
Kirby. As much
he
as
knows the title.
Kirby.
Yes, it's in the spreadsheet.
Kirby.
Yes.
As much as you've promised not to cheat anymore, I have maintained my right to keep going on about it. So...
Oh, yes. And you notice that I've... I acknowledge it enough that I put it in the spreadsheet.
Splendid. What about your cheating? Which episodes you cheated on?
That was Underworld. It was 387.
Right then. On the Facebook video feed, we have Inevitability and Error, says Alan T. Butcher. And then Well Done, Mary, he says. And then he says, the Watcher may be in every Big Finish story. He's not
that's true.
That talkative.
That's true.
And then he says, I think they may have done a different incarnation of the Watcher on Big Finish called The Listener. He's been thinking quite heavily about this, you know. Laurie Nix says, arse end, what's that mean? Arse end of the podcast today. I'm sure it will be fabulous recap. I nearly read that as crap. Fabulous recap. Good to hear you all. And then Laurie Nix says, prawn. And then she says, waves at Debbie. Where's Debbie? I can't see her. Laurie Nix said, Kirby is asking for punishment. Deny him. No. So I think we'd better move on to Doctor Who news. I'll tell you, was some news. I don't know, it wasn't. I might have already mentioned that. Actually, DoctorWhoNews.net, which is a good source of Doctor Who news. Yeah. Not a lot going on in the world of Doctor Who, because all it is, people talk about videos that Keith Barnfather's done involving friends of the Fantasy Con, as in Christopher Ryan, called. Oh yeah, and I think the other friend of Isle of Wight conventions is of course Sophie Aldred, and friend of the show for that matter. Because what a donut I was to have these people in my grasp and not actually do a personal interview with them when they were my guests at the event. Duh. Yes, but yeah, called Syl and the Devil Seeds of Arador, sort of video starring Nabil Shaban, friend of the show.
Yes, have you seen the preview? He made a trailer for it YouTube channel.
I haven't seen it, no. But The Doctor's More Monsters, produced by Keith Barnfather, is also available. And you can buy those on Amazon, just to let you know. There's been some...
I will go out to... I'll post the link to the trailer.
Will you now?
Okay.
Lethbridge Stewart books are coming out
for fans of the
Lethbridge Stewart family. Doctor Who magazine issue 544, which has a very splendid 40 years graphic on the cover, featuring...
comes with a free DVD. And guess what with the DVD? What? They've got a bonus feature that was left off one of the Blu-ray sets.
Oh, yes.
I think season 9, the season we just watched, or either that or season 19.
Might have to buy that one.
As well as they've got some of the shorter kind of features. They've got, like, some Doctor Who cookbook ones on there, like the Kipper of Traken. from the cookbook. So that's pretty amazing.
Well, that is some.
It also comes with a 32-page guide of where you can cross-reference, you know, where they've done interviews with certain actors and that.
Have you got this particular magazine, Robert? It sounds as if you have. Anyway, yes, it also has in the graphic that says 40, lots of old Doctor Who magazine covers, including covers that have been illustrated by our friend of the show and my personal friend, Mr. Alistair Pearson. And he actually did point out that some of his covers were on it. And you can buy it from whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Internationally, and get it quicker than you would do if you waited for it to appear in your local news agents. The Doctor Who Companion, the 12th Doctor Volume 2, is out with a picture of the 12th Doctor in the Doctor's very own spacesuit, the orange one. Jodie Whittaker sings Yellow. The 13th Doctor Jodie Whittaker takes on classic Coldplay track for a new album released to support Children in Need, which is coming up quite soon. There's usually a Doctor Who element to Children in Need, but we'll wait and see what happens on that one. The unofficial Doctor Who Annual 1987. This November sees a release of Fan Project, the unofficial Doctor Who Annual 1987. The publication is the latest project from Terraqueous Distributors, who earlier this year released the unofficial Doctor Who Annual 1972. And part of the blurb says, like our previous release, we have been blessed by the kindness of such well-known names in the world of Doctor Who as Fraser Hines, Alastair Pearson and David J. Howe. So there you go. Stephen Moore has passed away at the age of 81. He played Silurian Eldane in the Matt Smith Doctor Who story.
Brain the size of a planet. I'm so depressed.
Beg your pardon?
Nothing.
He also appeared in The Secret Diary of Adrian Mole as Adrian Mole's dad, lots and lots of other things.
I didn't know that.
Called The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, very well-known British TV actor. That's essentially it for Doctor Who news. They do sort of mention about the various new items you can buy from Lavazzi.co.uk, scarves and bags, you know, the laptop bags and stuff like that. Lots of really exciting new stuff coming out. And in fact, the BBC, bearing in mind the BBC shop has closed, have released a load of Christmas jumpers and stuff like that, because I know that because they're
appearing. Do they still have a digital one? Do they?
I don't know, but there is going to be a BBC stall at the MCM Comic Con in London, and I'm not sure if they're doing it in Birmingham, but they've advertised in the MCM Comic Con London that the BBC store will be selling lots of Christmas jumpers, and they'd actually showed some of the jumpers. So I'd be quite interested why the BBC aren't making that a little bit more well known, because I wouldn't mind having one, because their jumpers are particularly good. As are, of course, Lavazzi's. But Lavazzi are quite regularly bringing out some lovely stuff. Actually, I was sent a little sort of exciting preview for a new product that they're bringing out. And I think I posted it on the 20MB.2 podcast, a Facebook group, which you can join. But I guess
none of you...
Did you say again?
You're allowed to.
I said, you can join.
Oh, yes, you can join, yes. Let's see what he has sent me some bits and bobs. We have the 13th Doctor scarf. That's a striped one. And we have, it's basically the 13th Doctor striped scarf. Cool. I don't mind actually having one of those. It's a little bit shorter than the 4th Doctor scarf. So. There you go. Although I've got two, I don't need scarves. I've got more scarves that you can actually wave at a scarf monster. So that's rather cleverly done Doctor Who news. And I'm just going to check on whoone.co.uk to see if there's any new items coming up. Bearing in mind, Christmas is coming up within the next 2 months. Scent of Blood. A 8th Doctor story, Flight of the Sun God,
original novels.
6th Doctor story. No, these are Big Finish productions.
No, they're the original novels.
Are
original
they? 12 that can't be right. It says, no, it can't be. Oh, it could be. But it says runtime 65 minutes. I would have thought that's a bit quick for a novel.
That is. Well, there must be short stories in them.
I'm not sure that's the case, but if you say they are, I'll have to trust your word in it. The 2020 Doctor Who Official Annual is also available, £7.99. The 8th Doctor Further Adventures of Lucy Miller 1, and The Lives of Captain Jack 2. Terminus, the CD version of the audiobook, which is 285 minutes, which sounds more like the length of an audio novel.
Yeah, well, a book, audio book.
So all those things can be bought along with your classic Target novels and other Doctor Who publications at whoone.co.uk. I've got a funny feeling Kirby wants to say something. I don't know why. There's hairs standing up on the back of my neck.
Is that whoone.co.uk?
genius.
I'd already said it, though. I'm only contracted to do it once.
He's not contracted to do it at all. Laurie Nick says, Kirby is asking for punishment. I've done that one. Oh, Andy Nunny joined. Hello, Andy. I think he's got his dressing gown on appropriately at the moment, so you're okay. Right. So that is our next time, which, because I'm off on holiday this week, means I don't think there's going to be too much of an issue in watching Castrovalva, and also I've got nothing on next Sunday. We can do it again next Sunday, where we will be actually talking about Castrovalva.
Yay!
Except for me.
Oh, that's set for you. So we'll actually be able to get it through it quite quickly. So I'm envisaging that if we start at 7 and finish at 8, that's quite an acceptable period of time. Woohoo!
So, well, you can go back to episode 201 and hear my opinions.
No, thank you. But I do appreciate the suggestion.
And all of you other people, you can go back to episode 201 and probably listen to a quiz.
So well, there we are. So
same quiz.
Hopefully, after Debbie's skiving off for several weeks of the show, we might actually have her back as well next time. Woohoo!
I hope so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, she obviously thinks that that's better fun than this.
What, going to Malta?
Now,
yeah.
I'm glad. I mean, I don't like missing the recording, but basically I'm going on a date with my wife, which is kind of nice.
Kind of nice.
I'm looking forward after,
right.
Careful what you're saying, Kevin.
Castrovalva, we're going to start in on a bunch of stories I've never seen Fort of Doomsday. I've never seen
Kent. Wow.
I've never seen Earthshock. No, I've seen Earthshock.
Have you seen Snake Dance, Kirby?
Huh? No, I've never seen.
That's probably just as well.
I've never seen Ark of Infinity.
Well, there you go. How exciting.
On the spreadsheet, at the bottom of the spreadsheet, I've put a list of stories I haven't seen.
So the thing is, that might mean that the end of this era, that's the Peter Davison era, you might end up finding that Peter Davison is indeed your favorite Doctor too.
We'll see.
You never know. But anyway, we'll find out how that pans out, because it begins next week on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. So until then, thank you for watching, listening, and contributing, those that did, to the show. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Bye.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.